9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show on News Talk 790 KFYO. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Joining me in studio, we continue our look at the candidates. Remember, early voting next week. It's here, basically.
Starting Monday, isn't it?
That's right. It's the countdown now to early voting, and Marie Stanley, Lubbock City Council candidate for District 3 in studio. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate you asking me back.
Well, absolutely. And you know, we are getting down to it now, and not only in your race, but all these races that we have for city council. It's all about turnout, trying to get people to get out and vote. I know you've been doing a lot of block walking.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what are people telling you when you're going up to them? What's on their minds? What concerns them the most when you go up and speak to people?
Well, I think in the areas that I've been in, of course, the library was a very big issue. I was in the Tech Terrace a couple of weeks ago, and I happened to walk up and talk to a guy that was working in his front lawn, and turned out he was on the library board. Hmm. So we spent quite a while talking about the library, and as a matter of fact, I walked one side of one block in 2.5 hours. People were engaged, and of course, people are concerned in our part of the city about taking care of what we have. And I'm going to drive that message and beat that drum till the cows come home, Chad. And I think, you know, we want to keep our streets in good shape. We want to keep our city facilities and buildings in good shape. And that's what people are really interested in. And I think that, you know, I'm the guy that pushes that. I've been talking about that for 2 years.
Right.
I got back in the barber business 24 years ago. I've had 24 years of town hall meetings. And, you know, I kind of feel like that I'm kind of in touch with what people want out there. And that's in that area, that's what we're after.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to taking care of what we have.
Yes, sir.
And I think a lot of people are for that. A lot of people have no problem with that. How much money can you dedicate to that in 1 year, during one budget cycle? You know, how much can you take care of the individual buildings? There's only so many maintenance guys. There's only so much money to really go around.
Right. Chad, what I'm talking about here, taking care of what we have, as I see it, is now a budgetary matter. And that we break this down and we get an adequate budget. Now, how are we going to fund this? And I've thought a lot about this. And we had new revenues come into the city for the sales tax and property tax, $7,700,000, I believe, is what I got from the finance department at City Hall. And if we follow a pattern like we did with the Gateway funds when we set that up in 2004, is that we take a percentage. We can take 30%, we can take 40% of that money and move into this fund to add to our budget, which would, in this last year, would add about $2 million to the fund. You know, that would be money that we could start on. We can't do it all in 1 year. This is a long, drawn-out process to get. And all that I'm asking for is that we start a plan, and that I want to see us get on a plan where we can start a pay-as-we-go plan. I understand we can't go out and we can't jump up and we can't get $10 million to throw at our street problem. And that's what we're doing just about every year, is we're putting a $10 million on a basis. We're just putting it on the credit card. And that's going to catch up with us. We're on a merry-go-round. Now, I understand we can't do it all in 1 year. And the things that really concern me is situations like we got into with Goedeke Library.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we'd had the money that we could have put in $500,000 into that building, it cost us $82,000 to tear it down. If we ride this lease out to the very end, we're in it for $1,450,000. We could have done this building, the Goedeke Library, put $500,000 into it, saved ourselves $1 million.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Is it that we didn't have the money, or was it that we just spent the money elsewhere?
Well, now, Chad, I can't answer that. I don't know. I was not involved in the game then. Wasn't there that close.
Well, I guess what I'm basically asking is, when you go through the budget process,
yes,
is there money that we can either redirect, or that we can go through, we can see, you know what, maybe we don't need to be spending this much money here. No. Maybe we don't. You know, Councilman Klein has a seat you're running for, has proposed a new position that would be $70,000 this year, an extra $200,000 possibly next year or on down the line. That's an extra $200,000. So obviously there's some money somewhere in the budget, yeah, where if we're able to throw around ideas that cost $200,000 for three people, why not redirect that money towards maintenance?
I think that's a very good question. And I would like, that's what I would like to do, Chad, is to be able to sit down with each of the department heads and let's look at each item and see where we can redirect the money into that area. And of course, the more money that we have, the more money that we, or the more that we can do each year, and we can get it caught up faster. I am certainly not opposed to trying to redirect funds. I think that would be a smart idea. It would be, I mean, we'd be foolish not to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm perfectly in line with that.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like your original plan, what you were talking about, is almost a gateway fund for maintenance.
Exactly.
In order to establish that, you want to have, of course, more money coming in.
Sure.
Doesn't that mean we have to still have growth?
Ted, I have never been against growth. Now, a lot of people have taken it that I am against growth. I'm not.
Well, you've been against annexation, though.
Well, I'm against annexation in this respect, as it the impact that it has on our ability to take care of what we have. And it seems to me like that what I have seen over the years is that we have gone south and southwest, but we have not followed up and taken care of what we have. And I go back to 34th Street. You know, while we were doing Milwaukee and Frankfort and 98th Street, we were letting 34th Street just sit there and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come up with that. Now, if we can work out a plan that we can take care of what we have and put this budget together that's adequate to take care of what we have, the next situation that I have to look at when it comes to annexation is the effect it's going to have on our water.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get the developers, the builders, to start looking at a situation that they're willing to put in plans for water restrictions, we bring in Xeriscape, we bring in conservation measures, I don't have a problem. The next item that I do have a situation with is the effect it's going to have on our school system. Because when we start moving out and we take kids out, it does make a difference to our school system in Lubbock. Now, I understand that we are in a situation where we're getting as many kids in as we're transferring out. The problem is frontline teachers that sit in my shop and I have a chance to visit with, they will tell you it really makes a difference which kid transfers in, which kid transfers out. It's what you're putting into the school system.
But that's a symptom of
it is.
You know, how LISD is, and you can say whether it's perceived or whether it's reality.
Sure.
You know, people want to go to smaller schools. They want their kids to go to smaller schools. Friendship, Cooper, other schools that are outside of Lubbock have performed better in the last few years. So that's a symptom of other issues, right?
It is. No doubt about it. And I fully concur with that. But I think it's something we need to be aware of because it does make a difference to us. And it's not a deal breaker for me, but I want us to be aware of it, that it is something that we have to consider when we're doing this. But the water and the ability to take care of what we have, and if we do those two things, then let's go. I understand that a city has to have growth. I am by no means saying let's don't grow.
Mm-hmm.
But water is going to be an issue that could keep this area from growing, and if we don't start tending to it right now.
Let me ask you this before we go to the break. I brought up Councilman Klein's plan to add, I think, up to three new positions, which could add $200,000 to the budget, basically, $200,000. In salary to the budget. Just, you know, and of course, this has not been discussed at Lubbock City Hall. You've seen just about as much news as we've seen on it. Off the top of your head, what do you think about the proposal?
Well, Chad, I'm really not that aware of the proposal. I'm kind of in the dark on that. I'm not up to speed on it. But I will say this, that my attention and what I want to do and what I'm focused on is on our maintenance. So I want to put more money into there before we start hiring people to do something else.
We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue with Marie Stanley running in City Council District 3. If you have a question for Marie Stanley, you can call in 770-579, toll free 1-800-687-0790. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYM. Hope you're having a nice day. Remember, you can call in if you have a question for Marie Stanley running in City Council District 3. You can dial in right now, 770-5790, toll-free, 1-800-687-0790. Let me ask you about this, because this has become an issue in this race and other races as well, and it's the issue of taxes and spending taxes, cutting spending, spending more money. Where are you when it comes to a tax increase and your, I guess, your philosophy regarding tax increases?
Okay. Chad, I have made the statement many times that, I want to have a good quality of life in Lubbock, Texas. I want good streets to drive on. I want water. I want the utilities that are the electricity and other utilities that go along with it. And I'm willing to pay for what we have to have. What I am, really opposed is debt funding a lot of the maintenance of our streets. They go out and build a street. Of course, that's a bond issue. I understand that perfectly. But, when we have to bond and debt fund, just routine maintenance, I'm against it. And that's why that I have looked into this idea and thought about taking a percentage of the increase in revenues that come from natural growth through the sales tax, through the property tax, putting those in account to help get that on a situation where we can pay for it as we go. But I will say this, and I won't hesitate to say it, that I think that to get out of this, that at some point we're going to have to seriously look at doing some small incremental tax increases to get off the merry-go-round.
More than one.
I think it's going to have to be, the way that I could envision this would be something like a half a cent a year until we get back to a point that we can start dealing with it. In my case, that means $7 a year in increased taxes. Now, I know that nobody likes to say it, to hear that. It would be nice if I didn't have to say it. It's a kiss of death in political races, and you know that. But I want people to understand and know that if that's what I have to do, I'll do it. And I will say this. I have been involved with this barbershop for 24 years. And three times in 24 years have we raised the price of our haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that I take lightly. It's not something that I want to do to hurt anyone. But I just, I just don't want to see the city get down so far that we can't, that we'll never catch up. And that's what I feel right now. Now, I am absolutely have no problem in sitting down with each, of the managers, directors, the city manager, and going through each department and seeing where we can redirect money. And if we can do it, I don't have a problem. I had rather not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to do that, but I'm just saying, and I want people to know before they go vote. And if I don't want anyone voting for me thinking they're going to get one thing and get something else.
Right.
And I want to be honest about that. It's not something I would want to do, but if I feel like that we have to do it, I will do it.
And you're talking, if right now everything's perfect, if all the money's being spent right now the same way, everything has been cut that can be cut.
Sure.
In your mind today, if that was the case, would we need a tax increase?
We wouldn't. We wouldn't. If we had enough that we could get things on a pay as we go on our maintenance issues.
But what I mean is right now in the state that we are now, the state of the city right now, where none of that exists. But if you remember the city council right now, do you think we would need a tax increase in order to take care of
right now
of building? Yes, right now.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I think we would. Well, let me put it this way, Chad, and listeners need to know this. We're looking at a water situation. As I understand, we're looking at $200 million to increase the size of the pipeline coming down from the Roberts Water Field. Now, that's not something that you can just say, "Hey, we need this. We're going to go get it. Somebody's going to have to pay for it."
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at new electrical generation. Of course, that's coming from a different side. I don't see any way with things are going to get more costly, Chad. And that's just the way it is.
Right. Let me ask you about this. This is another issue that the city council may talk about. Other West Texas cities are discussing payday lenders. When it comes to the city council, do you think the city council needs to go in and regulate payday lenders?
Yeah, I do. And I had this conversation last night with a group that had called and wanted to visit. And that was one of the issues that they wanted to talk about. But my experience with this is one that hits a little closer to home. Is once upon a time I had an employee that got involved with this, wound up losing his pickup truck, and once you're into it, you can't get out of it. Now, at what point and how you regulate that, I don't know, but I know that it is a major problem for a lot of people, and it seems like the people that can least afford it are the people that get hooked into it.
At what point do you separate personal responsibility from the government stepping in?
You know, I don't know, Chad. That's what you fight with all the time.
And that can range on payday lenders.
Yeah, it's anything. I mean, it's every issue that there is. You can't really protect people from themselves in a lot of ways, but I think that there has to be something that's reasonable. And, you know, what the word reasonable in this case means, I can't sit here and tell you today. I don't know. You know, I really haven't studied the issue, looked into the issue, and I would be hesitant to give you a figure that what we need to set that at. But I'm not opposed to looking at it, and it's a very good argument that personal responsibility is the deal. Stay away from it. Get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people are getting hurt by it.
Let me ask you about this. You've brought up money in politics. Others have brought up money in politics. One of your opponents has raised a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Are you concerned about the money aspect of it, or are you more concerned about where he's getting the money? And you know, by the way, in the debate that y'all were in the other night at Redeemer, you know, Griffith pointed out that he's received quite a few individual contributions. It's not all PAC money. What exactly are you concerned about there?
Well, I think any time that large amounts of money get into politics, it's a problem. And let's face it, this seat, the job pays $25 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what I'm concerned about is the interests that are involved here. That is this an attempt to see that there is one vote in a group's favor that's going to favor the annexation question, that's going to favor the zoning questions? Are we going to, is this seat more for the District 3 people? That's what I'm concerned about here. Now, as far as the money, he made the point that he had a lot of contributors, and that's true. I have too. A lot of my contributors have been the $1 contributors, and I appreciate those because those are people that have gotten involved. There was a gentleman in yesterday that put a $5 bill down, signed his name, his address, and his phone number, made the comment that he was 80 years old. It's the first time that he has ever contributed to a political campaign. It was $5. It was important to him. It was certainly important to me.
Real quick, in about 30 seconds or so, tell us what separates you from everyone else in this race.
Chad, I've had town hall meetings for 24 years, and I have talked to a lot of people. I think that I understand what's really real in District 3 and all of Lubbock, as far as that goes.
All right. Maurice Stanley, thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Chad, thank you very much. I appreciate it.